Hey there, this is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with my friend, Jeff Zoll. This is actually his third time on the podcast, and I really, really appreciate Jeff for so many reasons. He's an incredibly generous leader, and he invited me this past summer to one of the biggest and best professional experiences I've ever had. He asked me to collaborate on the Education Right Now Volume 2 book. So we're going to talk about Education Right Now and the book that we're proud to have produced. We're going to talk about how relationships matter, people, and how you can improve on something that already works. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey everyone, this is Stacey Lindis from Podcast PD, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am excited today to talk with an old friend, Jeff Zoll. And listen, he was back on the podcast episode number 27. That's a long time ago. Then he was on the show number 107 with Jimmy Casas. And this is episode 189. So I don't know, Jeff, that I have a lot of three-peat guests on the podcast, but you're somebody in my inner circle. You're somebody that I admire. I look up to quite a bit in terms of school leadership. And I'm just happy to call you a friend, too. So thanks for joining me again on the podcast.
So, Jenny, thank you. I hope it's not the third time because I keep screwing up and I haven't gotten it right yet. But I'm honored to be here for the third time. And I do notice you called me, you wanted to welcome an old friend, which sadly, I guess is true. But I don't appreciate you making fun of my elderly advanced age.
No, that just means I've known you longer than 6 months. That's all.
No, it's great to be with you again.
No, I appreciate that. You know, the first time we connected and I saw what you were tweeting and I asked you to be on the show. And at that time I was back in Chicago. That's when the podcast was born. You were one of those first episodes. And, you know, what I've learned over the years now, and since you are an old friend because we've known each other for a while, I really appreciate your voice. You know, the principles you stand for, the type of guy, the type of leader that you are. And you're involved in a lot of cool things. And, you know, I'd like to jump in right now. And if we could talk a bit about the Education Right Now projects that you've been working on. And Volume 1 has been out. We'll have that released and available in the show notes. And then you invited me to participate in Volume 2. But can you talk a little bit about the Education Right Now project?
Yeah, Danny, that's really been one of the highlights of my entire career. And I have done, because I am so dang old, I have done a lot of different things in education, from classroom teacher in many roles to assistant principal to principal and district office administrator and a lot of writing and speaking and coaching and consulting. But I think this project is truly one of the real highlights of all that I've done for a number of different reasons. It started, you know, 2 summers ago, as you know, and as you say, with Education Right Now, Volume 1. And Joe Mazza and I kind of led that effort, and we recruited 8 other colleagues and friends, some we knew better than others, to be a part of it. And the idea was to gather together right before the National Principals Conference in Philadelphia and see if we could come together and write a full-length book as a group of 10 educators and sometimes writers in the space of just over 48 hours. And the other challenge was, you know, working ahead of time to kind of communicate and talk about how that book with 10 different authors, each contributing about 5,000 words, how that could come together as kind of a coherent, you know, thematic book, even though really it was 10 people kind of going off on their own to write, you know, some chapters. And in that first year, it seemed to go well. Our theme for that first year was change. And each one of those chapters actually started with the words changing the way we think about blank. And all 10 of us kind of took a crack at, you know, something we need to change in education. And it was just so fun. Tony Sinanis, Tom Marie, Joe Sanfilippo, Kayla Delzer, Sine Bell, and Star Saxteen, and Bob Dylan, and a couple of others. And Danny, it was just a really, really great thing. And the other thing I love about this project that makes it the highlight of my career, not only the collaborating with people I truly like and respect, but that was such a fun thing to come out of that weekend working with those people and thinking that you could put together a good product that some educators might, you know, benefit from. But the other benefit was that the proceeds from the book, nobody makes any money on this book since there's 10 of us, and we donate the royalties to a really good, worthy cause. And it's the Will to Live Foundation. And I think the website is willtolive.org. And the founder and sort of the director of that is John Troutwine. And he's an old high school classmate of mine. And his son tragically committed suicide when he was in high school. And John started this foundation to raise awareness of teen suicide and hopefully prevent teen suicide to the extent that we can. So it's great for those two reasons, the collaboration and then the proceeds and the cause that it goes to. And then year two, you know, we didn't know how it would go, but year one went well enough where we thought we'd do it again. And our idea was to get sort of a new co-editor. So I brought back Sine Bell because Joe Mazza kind of rolled off the project. And so Sine was a returning writer from the first book. And she and I are kind of quote unquote, I guess, the leaders or editors of Ed Right Now, Volume 2. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, you and a whole cast of another amazing group of folks, Onika Mayers from Texas and Laura Gilchrist from Kansas City. And gosh, just a great, great group too also. And this one, our theme was kind of loosely relationships, connections, and how we really can connect our kids more to school and our each other to each other and our kids to the content that we're teaching and just connecting and relating to the entire school community. So if anything, you know, I think Ed Right, I was a little worried about it because I thought Ed Right Now okay. Number one was so good. I was afraid that, you know, it would be tough to match that. And I honestly think that the Ed Right Now 2 version might even be a little bit better a product. I'm really excited about it. You were there, you know how fun it was, but you also kind of know when we get together, we get to kind of read each other's chapters a little bit. And we take some time to even read our own out loud. And as you're listening to the other people, you sort of realize that this is going to be a good book. I'm really excited for it to come out. And again, the proceeds will benefit the same organization this year. So just truly, Danny, one of the highlights of my entire, you know, 37-year career in education. I've loved these two projects. And then this will probably be, next summer will probably be my last time of kind of editing it. Sine and I will do it again next summer. And then I'll roll off and ask her to lead it with the new person, but hopefully returning writer, to kind of co-edit volume 4. Great. Down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, it's one of the highlights of my career as well. And that stacks up there with the time, over 3 years, I ran the Chicago Marathon with over 100 kids from my high school on the far south side. And we raised over 25 grand for clean water projects in Africa. But this is right up there with it because, you know, we're working with a strong foundation, the Will to Live Foundation. And we're, you know, we're surrounding ourselves with just these amazing school leaders and thinkers in our field. And there's something special that happens when you prioritize contributing to the industry, right? Contributing to education and saying, this is so important. I'm going to block 3 days of my special, you know, time and try to give something back. And you don't know how it's always going to come together. Like you said, it's probably a little scary as a leader of this group to bring us together, see what we produce. But Jeff, I'll tell you, when we were in that room and we were producing that content and then sharing and reading over and pushing each other to make it better, that kind of thing, I think we did create something that is special. I would argue we can be very proud that we completed it. And I think we'll absolutely have an impact on those educators that engage in the book, for sure.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, I am proud of the group. It was a great group and the bar was pretty high from the year before. But again, it was a great group. And if I didn't say the team for year two was Rosa Isaiah. I think the other thing I like about it, Danny, is sort of we tried to get a diverse group. And when I say diverse, I mean diverse in every sort of way, from, you know, the obvious characteristics of gender and race, but really diverse geographical even, and diverse in terms of thought and roles in education. We had Rosa Isaiah from California. You had yourself, who's living overseas now. We had Onika Mayers from Texas and Sinead Bell from Texas. We had Randy Ziegenfuss from Pennsylvania, Winston Sakurai from Hawaii, and Laura Gilchrist, as I said, from KC. Liz Bostwick, a teacher in New York State. And then Sean Gaylord from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
We represented all over the country and the world now with you. Thank you. And diverse thoughts and people and roles. And it's kind of neat. That's a kind of thing, too, where it's all these different people come together and I think develop so much affection for each other, honestly. And, you know, we take time to go out to eat and, you know, socialize in addition to working hard. And it's just fun to see the team to come together both summers.
And that's, you know, I think that's a leadership principle that I really want the listeners to think about, is that we came together. We knew we had to produce a book in just about 48 hours. That is a tall, you know, order, okay, to fulfill. Yeah. But within that time, okay, this is the leadership principle for listeners. We still built in that time to build relationships, right? To go out to eat, to have a drink, to unplug from the writing for just a bit, just to interact as human beings. And the thing is when you do that, you get energized and you can bring that back then to the work to create something special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that was kind of neat too is to see the different ways the 10 of us write and work. And it's just kind of neat doing this two summers now. Some people just staying in the, you know, for the listeners who don't know, we kind of, we work with Routledge, our publisher, who kind of sponsors this group in terms of some expenses for the hotel. And we get a kind of a conference room and we meet there every day. And there's times where we come back together, of course, but then there's a lot of time where we're just writing individually. And some people will stay in that room and write. Some people will go off on their own. Some people listen to music. Some people, you know, do this or that. And some people have to have their coffee. It's just kind of neat to see the unique and individual habits of the writers in the group and how they produce their work. And some people get right to a good start. I think you were the front runner in terms of getting the rooms done early this time. And then I remember, you know, some other authors at the very, very end were still struggling to finish up. And there's some friendly pressure, you know, it's not competition. Yeah. There's some friendly pressure some productive pressure to get it done and to do your part. And I know near the end, for me, it almost always works out perfectly. I think some people finish early, and I think you're one of those. Some people are almost kind of still tying up loose ends when we dismiss. And I'm somebody who I need a deadline. And right at the deadline, I kind of finish my 5,000. Not that we're set in stone on 5,000, but I finish my chapter and need that deadline and get it done right about the deadline. So it's neat to see the way the team writes differently and how all their unique habits of writing.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Jeff. And, you know, I'm wondering if there's another leadership principle here we can share with the listeners, in the sense of, you had an all-star team, so to speak, with volume one, and you know you produced something that was meaningful, especially for our field. So how do you improve on that, right? You thought that we might even did a better job with volume two. I think the readers will ultimately have the final say on that. but I'm proud of what we produced. But as a leader of leaders, how did you approach trying to string together another all-star team?
Yeah, that's a good question, Danny. And maybe, and again, they were both fantastic. And, you know, it would be silly to say, you know, one's better than the other. Both teams are great human beings and really good, strong writers, in my opinion. But I would say the one thing that maybe made the second year, if there was at all something about it that made it seem better to me, it was maybe the fact that I didn't call on the people I knew best. The first year, it was sort of a natural thing. And Joe Mazz is a pretty good friend of mine. It was sort of a natural thing for Joe and I to kind of call on some of our closest friends in the business. And, you know, that would be a Tom Murray and a Caleb Delzer and a Joe Sanfilippo. I hate to call these guys good friends since I make fun of them all the time, but they really are. And they're great men and women. But then year two, so I don't know if that probably, you know, wasn't the right thing to do, but it's just sort of a natural thing to do, to call on the people you know best and see if they would participate. But then year two, so now you're thinking, hey, let me not just rely on the people I know the best. And more than that, let me kind of call together people who may not even know each other. And that was sort of interesting. I think the first year, almost everybody in the room, and Amber Tiemann was, I think I left her off in the first year, I think almost everybody in the room had met each other before face-to-face. There might have been a rare exception. I think in year two, there were several people in the room who hadn't met Danny Bauer, and there were several people in the room who hadn't met Randy Zygenthus. And there were, you know, a couple of people in the room who hadn't met me and I hadn't met yet. So I'm calling on some people now that I've never even met before. And that's kind of a neat thing, right? So maybe that's a leadership principle too. And maybe I apply it to almost hiring and selecting new teachers and new administrators if I'm hiring those people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a reminder that you don't always want to, and in fact, you probably want to avoid hiring people who are like you. You want to hire people who complement you, who are very, very different than you. I always say, frankly, you know, when hiring new staff members, the only thing they have to have in common with me is a commitment to excellence and a commitment to basing their decisions on what's based for kids. If they have that in common with me, I frankly hope they're different from me in every other possible way. So if I'm a white male who's kind of old, I'd like that person to be a female, non-white, and maybe young or something. And that's a different role in education than I do. So maybe that's another leadership lesson from the watching the dynamics of the group. So there's so much value in bringing together people who have never before met face-to-face and seeing how that group bonds over the time together and what they produce.
Yeah, that's absolute gold there, you know, in terms of hiring and an approach. And naturally, it's this bias, and it could be a blind spot for most leaders, but you're going to hire where you're comfortable, right? With people who think and talk and dress and act just like you. But that doesn't make the organization world class. It's when you bring in people that have different perspectives and different, you know, just stories, right, that got them to where they're at, that enhances the entire team. And I think you really unpacked that quite nicely there, Jeff. Well, let's switch gears a bit. We've been talking about Ed Right Now, and that was an awesome project that I was a part of. And I so appreciate the opportunity to work with you there. But I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about what great educators do differently. And maybe you can tell us the genesis story of how that even started up.
Yeah, what great educators do differently is sort of a brand now of a conference that I work with some other people to put on several times a year. It seems like each year we do about four or five. And that started with Jimmy Costas and me and Todd Whitaker, the three of us, mainly Jimmy and me, but Todd too. The three of us had written a book together, What Connected Educators Do Differently. And you know, we said, gosh, we'd like to really, you know, see if we could. I mean, we're just three nobodies, and you know, we're certainly not business people, but the three of us said, we'd love to do a conference where we kind of promote some of the themes that we write about and talk about and live each day in face-to-face conferences, because we still believe in, you know, face-to-face learning is probably the most powerful kind of learning. And so Jimmy and Todd and I started that, I don't know, 3 years ago now in October in Chicago was our very first one. And since then we've done, probably a dozen or more. We've had one in Canada. So I guess we could say we're international now. This year we just finished up one in Houston. And a couple of months ago we had one in Virginia. But we try to limit frankly, the attendance to no more than 500 people. We usually have between 200 and 500 people. And we want to keep it intimate enough where we really get to connect with the attendees and connect with each other as presenters. And sometimes they're one-day conferences, Danny. Sometimes they're two-day conferences. It kind of depends on the host site now, because a lot of people invite us to have one at their high school or their district.
Okay. Yep.
The one we just finished in Houston was at Cypress Fairbanks School District. And we're actually going to go back there in April. So we've got a subsequent one, April 2nd of 2019. I know we're chatting here in 2018 still, but April 2nd outside of Houston, Texas. And then we've got one April 13th. We call it Nashville, but it's really Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a little bit south of Nashville. So we've got two scheduled already for 2019. We finished up about four or five this year, but we try to just bring really, really passionate to be very, very passionate people who go above and beyond. And it's usually just a really, really wonderful day or two of professional learning and connecting.
Yeah, I've been to the What Great Educators Do Differently conference before. I think that was in St. Louis, and just had a blast. And from the second that the conference launches through all the breakout sessions and then the closing session, It was nonstop energy, high energy, very positive. And I took notes in my notebook. You should see, I burnt pages into the notebook. I was writing so fast. It was just such an empowering weekend for me. I love it. So for the listeners, great. We'll have What Great Educators Do Differently linked up in the show notes. And like Jeff said, there's a conference coming up April 2nd in the Houston area and then April 13th in the Nashville area.
Yeah.
So Jeff, let me ask you this. There's a quote I love. It's from Derek Sivers, and he says, "What is ordinary to you is extraordinary to me." What would you consider your superpower, Jeff?
What would I consider my superpower to be?
That's right.
Oh, wow. Gosh, I don't think I have any. Let's see. You know, Danny, I just started a job, so this is kind of interesting. I just started a job. It's a temporary job. I'm an interim principal of a middle school in Glenview, Illinois. It's a real blessing to be back in schools, if only on a interim basis, but I'm filling in for principals out on some medical leave, and I'll be there for 6 to 8 weeks. And so I just started, I've probably been there 5 days so far, a little bit of the week before and a couple of days this week, and then I'll be there maybe through the holiday break. But one thing I will say this, that people have commented to me about, and it's sort of an ordinary thing. You brought in that Derek Sivers quote. And you can talk about ordinary. Something that seems very ordinary to me, but not everybody does it, is being hugely present and visible in the school.
Okay.
Every morning, you know, the first day I showed up and I didn't have anything to do. You know, I'm coming in, the school's running already. And I said, well, I'll just go do what I always did when I was a principal. I'll stand out front and shake hands with the kids coming in the door from 7:45 to 8:15 in the car rider line. And so I did that the first day and just kept doing that. I kind of block out that time of day now. And by the third day of doing that, I was having parents come out of their cars and walk over and shake my hand and say, hey, you know, thank you for doing this. And I had a couple of parents who were walking their kids in and saying, you know, everybody's talking about you being out here shaking hands with the kids. It's such a great thing that you do that. It's just something I consider very ordinary. And it is very ordinary. I certainly didn't learn that in my doctoral classes, and you did these kinds of things too. And you don't learn in any of your classes. You just do it because it's the right human thing to do, to connect with the kids when they're coming in. And I think there's a lot of benefits to doing that. I actually think kids behave better when they see me every morning. I make eye contact with them and shake their hands on that good day. And so it's a very ordinary thing, but I'm kind of good at doing ordinary things. I'm going off that quote of Derek, and I don't have any extraordinary superpowers. My superpowers tend to be doing what I say I'm going to do. And one of those that I say I'm going to do is to be very visible and present. And I actually try to commit to doing that, not just say I'm going to do it.
I love it. You know, and it is ordinary, but the thing is that does make you a superhero. And for some people, that'd be quite a stretch, right? They're wondering, how does Jeff do that every single day? And for me, you know, and you got to be comfortable with your personality. So, and who you are when you go out there, shake hands and welcome people to campus. But for me, you know, that looked like singing the current popular pop songs, right? Or holiday season, you know, singing holiday songs and just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And kids would love it. And plus, it was very age appropriate. I had a middle school, so they just absolutely died for that stuff. But then I have a colleague, you know, Chris Jones, and he's made it a thing, this Welcome Sign Wednesday, and he's at a very big high school in the Northeast. And so he welcomes his kids with just very positive and affirming messages on different signs, poster board, and takes a picture, throws that up on Twitter and Instagram just to keep the positive vibe and the school story going. So there's a number of ways, you know, that you can approach it. But if we could backtrack just a second too, Jeff, like, so it's a priority to you, but how do you remember to do what you say is important, right? Because for some people, there's this incongruence between what they say they're all about and what their day actually looks like, right?
Yeah.
I know you. I know that relationships matter, people, right?
We're getting a little shout out to Onika L. Mayers on that one. You know,
that's right.
I saw
Onika, that's right.
Onika on Thursday of this week, Danny. She was at the Great Educators Do Differently, and because she's in Cypress, Fairbanks. So I saw her, and I'm interrupting for a quick aside. We were in a session, and Onika was in my session, and one other colleague of hers was making fun of hers. We had shown the cover of our book, Ed Right Now, and it said Onika L. Mayers. And her buddy said, "What's this L stuff? Was there another Onika Mayers that you have to differentiate yourself from Onika P. Mayers?" So I was making fun of her all day, but she had to have her middle initial.
Oh,
but she's a lovely lady, a great leader. And but in that session, to get back to your point, we actually started talking about this. Mm-hmm. And when you say relationships matter, people, that's sort of a funny thing that came up in the Ed Right Now 2-day event this summer in Chicago. But every single time I present, if I'm talking about relationships, I'll always throw up this slide and it'll say, what's the most important relationship word? And there's not a right answer, but I wait for a couple of answers. And, you know, usually someone will say respect, someone will say caring. But the answer that comes up almost immediately, and several people will say it, is the word trust. And then I go to my next slide, which is what Todd Whitaker and I call our top 10 trust traits. And kind of go over these top 10 behaviors that you need to do if you want to have trusting relationships with the people you're leading, whether those people are kids in a classroom that you're leading or adults in a building that you're leading. And, you know, it really, one of them is credibility and just doing what you say you're going to do. You know, those 10 traits, Danny, nine of them are kind of fun. You know, the positive things, you know, be there, show you care, support innovation. Those are three of them, right? Communicate regularly. Those are all kind of fun. But there's one down on our list. It's, I think it's number 9. And it says address underperformance. And that's not a lot of fun. Even the best leaders I know don't enjoy doing that, but the best leaders I know do that, and some other leaders don't do that. And that's a quick way to lose trust. So if we say that we're going to do this in our school, whether this is to be in the cafeterias or to be in the hallways during transitions or to treat people with dignity and respect 10 days out of 10, if we say we're going to do that, and then we don't do that, no one's going to trust us. We're going to lose credibility. We're going to lose trust. And so when you're the ultimate leader of the school and some people aren't doing that, you have to address that underperformance, because if you don't address it with the first person who does it, pretty soon there's going to be somebody else, and people are going to think, this didn't matter after all. I don't have to be in the hallways during transition. I don't have to treat people with dignity and respect 10 days out of 10. I don't have to do this, this, and this that we said we're going to do. So I think doing what you say you're going to do sounds pretty simple, but I find a lot of places where it's not happening. People say this is important, but they're not living it as being important. And we have to do what we say we're going to do, or people are not going to trust or find us credible.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I want to dig into that just a bit more after a quick break. And so let's pause here for a message from our sponsors.
Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit organizedbinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents.
All right, and we're back, and I'm here with my good buddy, Jeff Zoll, and we talked about Education Right Now, Volume 1 and 2, What Great Educators Do Differently. We just ended on an important point, to do what you say you'll do. It's another one of these things, Jeff, that I think is ordinary, but turns you into an extraordinary leader if you actually do this type of stuff. Is there any final thoughts that you can share there that helps people actually act on what they say they're all about?
You know, I think if you're leading a school, if you're in any leadership role in a school, whether it's a principal, assistant principal, or maybe just a member of the leadership team, I think it's got to be a collaborative commitment. And I think I've talked with you about this before, like at several schools where I was a principal, we came up with 5 faculty value statements. And those statements start off with the 2 powerful words, "We will." And I remember the first school as principal, the first one was, "We will insist and promote a safe and orderly learning environment." The second one was, "We will design and deliver meaningful and relevant lessons each and every day." The 5th one was, "We will recognize and celebrate our many successes." But we had 5 of these statements, those are 3, and I still remember them, right? This is a long, long time ago, pretty quickly like that. But the reason I remember them is they weren't just words on the wall. We had action steps behind each one of those. And here's the thing, Danny, we held each other accountable for it. It wasn't me holding people accountable for it, it's a principle. And this is what I call the joy of accountability. And when I throw those words up on the slide on a presentation, people always kind of, what? The joy of accountability. You know what the joy of accountability is? When you and I hold each other accountable for doing what we said we were going to do. And one day, Danny, when you slept up and I come by your room and I say, "Hey, Danny, remember we said we're going to do this? You know, you need to do it." And then you don't get mad at me because it's not a gotcha. It's just me reminding you gently and politely that we said we're going to do this. And, you know, you just apologize and you do it. And then the funny thing is 2 days later, you know, you come by my office and say, "Hey, Jeff, didn't you say you were going to be in the lunchroom every day during eighth grade lunch?" And I said, "Yeah."
Right, it goes both ways.
You said you weren't there yesterday, and I'm not mad at you now. It's the joy of accountability. So I guess I would throw that in there about doing what we say we're going to do. If we have a culture where everybody holds everybody accountable for doing what we say we're going to do, it's not a gotcha. It's just all of us committing to doing what we said was important.
Tony Robbins is famous for saying that quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. Jeff, can you think of one question you should have asked more frequently as a novice school leader?
Oh, wow. Gosh, give these to me ahead of time from now on, Danny. I can think of these. Let's see. You know, one thing I say sometimes, you know, probably my favorite quote, you're throwing quotes to me, I'll throw one back at you. My favorite quote of all my quotes, and this is, you heard it before, but it's Maya Angelou, and she says something along the lines of, "Do the best you know how until you know better. But then when you know better, do better." All I can ask anybody I'm leading today is to do the very best you know how. Obviously, mathematically, I can't ask more of you than that. But our job is so dadgum important, I can't accept anything less either. And that's why our jobs are so important. We have to give our very, very best each and every day. And we can't give any less than our best. Can't give any more, but we can't give it any less. But then the second part of that would be my question. But then when you know better, do better. And here's the question that I should have asked more back in the days, and I try to ask a lot now. What is something that's happening in schools, and I won't say any one particular school, but schools in general, if you had to look across schools, at least in our country, Danny, you know, over public education in America, what's something that's happening that for the most part, we actually know there's a better way and we're still not doing better? And Jimmy and I have a book coming out. It's a little bit of a follow-up to Start Right Now, which was our book with the subtitle Teach and Lead for Excellence. Jimmy and I just finished writing a book called Stop Right Now. And I think the subtitle is something like the 39 things we should stop doing to make schools better. I think there's some things by this time, Danny, we honest to God know it's not right and we still do it. And so I like to ask that question to audiences when I'm presenting. And it's fun to hear what comes up, because oftentimes there are those, some of the 39 stops Jimmy and I write about. One hand went up just the other day, and the lady said, the school calendar. We know this isn't the best school calendar. We continue to follow it in the year 2018. My goodness, when are we going to change the school calendar? And not just do these, you know, hokey balance calendars, but really have more of a, you know, a 365, 24/7 calendar, you know, really be flexible with our scheduling. And then somebody else will say, homework and grading. I think in our schools today, we're still doing things we know aren't best practice. You know, it's just, but we still do them. There's so many questions on homework that I have. Why do we do this? And then somebody else said in the session the other day, you know, I don't know why we do teacher evaluation the way we do it. We put so much time and effort into formal teacher evaluation, and nobody's getting anything out of it. Let's just stop evaluating teachers, and instead, I'll observe you and I'll give you feedback, and you know, I'll support you. But you know, if the goal is to, you know, reward people who are doing great or consequent people who are doing not so great, it's not happening through the teacher evaluation process. So let's can it and do something different, and let's focus on support and feedback. And you know, so those are just a few things that come up. But that's the question I would ask: what are some things we know we could be doing better, and yet we're still doing the same old thing? And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, I've got that thing that you've heard me say: doing things better is good, but doing better things is even better. And I think we need to start doing better things instead of just doing things better.
Yeah, I really appreciate those points. They're quite profound, you know. And I end podcasts talking about how life is only 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. This is what I hear you saying too. And one of the journal questions I ask every day is, what could I have changed from yesterday to make it better? And so this is applying that question into a very systems point of view in terms of running the school at a much higher level, but it's still with the perspective, I can impact stuff. I have control over some of these aspects of how our school operates, and it can be better. And gosh darn it, I'm going to figure out how to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Jeff, you know, you've done it again. Three-peat guest. You're always awesome. We love having you here at the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. So if people want to continue the conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You know, probably the best way is to send me a direct message through Twitter, and my Twitter handle's @Jeff_Zoul, Z-O-U-L, and that's probably the best way.
Perfect. Well, we'll link that up for the listeners on the show notes. And again, Jeff, thanks again for joining me on the podcast.
Danny, thank you, brother. It's always a pleasure whenever I have time to connect with you. I admire the work you do and appreciate the time we can spend together whenever that is. Thank you.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.